8:02, the time, a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed show, and as we do each and every Monday, it's time for the Artist Corner right now, brought to you by the folks at the Sawdust Art Festival's Winter Fantasy, happening right now through December 18th. I was out there this weekend, and a fantastic weekend it was. We welcome in for the Artist Corner this morning, Director of Marketing, Frankie Duchesne. A very good morning, Frankie. How are you today? I'm doing fantastic, and I'll be even better once I turn your mic on. There we go. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
Fantastic. Oh, sorry about that. You brought in a guest that we've had here before, and I'm not just loving her stuff this year. I'm loving it all the time. Her work is amazing. Heather Reichert is with us this morning. Hey, Heather,
good
how
morning.
Are you?
Good morning.
Good to see you this morning. How are you?
Good to see you, too. A little nervous, but good.
Yeah, I know. Why the nerves? Yeah, you've been on the show before, you know, you do well.
But I am really good at sticking my foot in my mouth, so. Well,
don't worry about it. You won't do that here. You've been nothing but informative our last couple of visits. Heather, by the way, for those of the listeners that don't know, Heather has, for the last couple of years, made our Takeover Award. And quite honestly, it is the most popular thing we've had in a long time. Our Takeover Awards were good before, but nothing like they are now. The artistry and the creativity that you put into it, we can't thank you enough for doing that.
Thank you. They're a lot of fun when I remember the microphone. They're
a lot of fun. Yeah. We've got another Takeover coming December 7th through the 13th. If you're looking for a spot in that Takeover, you can contact Alyssa at alyssa@kxfmradio.org. So Frankie, how's it been? How is the Winter Fantasy going so far?
It's been really great, really busy.
All right, yes.
Very busy.
I noticed that this weekend. We were there a couple of days this weekend. I went Friday. Oh, God, I was there every day this week. So we noticed how busy you guys are. And I've said this before, the vibe is so cool this year. It's the holidays, and you fully are expressing that vibe this year.
It's very festive. Our artists are doing really well. I mean, Heather, I think, did you have a really good weekend?
Yes, the last two weekends. Last weekend was incredible. This weekend was a little bit slower for me, but I still did really well. But I'm glad because I have a lot of art to make.
Right. So let me ask you about, let me get into that right away. So let's say that you have a super great weekend and it depletes the art that you have, because I would imagine you have a finite amount of art right now.
Right.
You're not working this very moment. So as your inventory begins to thin, do you feel pressure to make art, right? You know, to
I
go home
do,
and do.
But it's exciting.
Right.
Like, I like when somebody's holding a gun to my head to make art. Because in January and February, I'm like, oh, I have time. I feel like a sloth. And I try to do some pieces. But now I'm like, okay, I have, it's an insane amount. I have like 10 pieces I want to make this week.
Okay.
And I'm crazy enough, I'll get them done.
10 pieces?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll sleep in January.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
Both of you the same thing, right?
Sure.
So it doesn't matter the time of day you stop by, you'll see Frankie Duchesne at Sawdust. And it doesn't matter the day of the week, you'll see her there, yeah. and generally all day long. So the strain, the emotional and physical strain of putting, this is actually like a, and people don't understand, it's a show you're putting together. You're actually putting each and every day or each and every weekend, you're putting an entire show together. Tell us what goes into that. Tell us the work that happened, the visits to the artists, all everything.
Prior to the
weekend, for instance.
So midweek, during the week, our artists are, they're usually home because, you know, the winter show only runs on the weekends.
Right.
So the artists like Heather have a chance to go home and make art before the following weekend.
Right.
And myself, I'm promoting the show to the best that I can.
Right.
And our guys on the grounds, our grounds crew, are freshening up the grounds and making it look beautiful again after the chaos of the weekend.
Right.
And, you know, thousands and thousands of people pass through the gate over the weekend. So.
It's like cleaning up after a party, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like
every week.
Like the biggest party you're cleaning up after.
Right.
So back to Heather's work for just a moment. I loved that you had a piece that I saw on Friday that was gone yesterday when I saw it. Mm-hmm. It was the truck, the Tonka truck.
Yep.
When something like that is sold, it's gone forever. It's a one-of-a-kind piece. There's no other way to make another one, right?
Right. No, everything I do is one-of-a-kind.
Right.
Like, because of all the materials I use. Now, I have my friend who sells me my vintage items has a pink one like that, which I'm super excited to get my hands on. But it's going to be completely different. I never do the same thing twice. And I can't do prints, like, for me. So the tiny little $85, that's an original piece of art. Nobody else has that.
And no one else will.
Nope.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Tell us about the influence that your parents have on your art or had on your art. You're from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And that's a big industrial town. And I would imagine, first thing I think of is metalworks when I think of Allentown. Tell us about growing up in Allentown.
Well, I actually grew up on the outskirts of Allentown, so at that time it was a little bit more rural, and there were a lot of, there were housing developments and stuff. Now it's just Amazon warehouses everywhere. It's actually kind of sad. Right. I think my grandmother has the last plot of farmland, and it's not even farmland anymore in the area, but I take a lot from, my parents use recycled materials in their work. Their work was very primitive compared to mine, and so I think I've been, that's where I fell in love with vintage, because we used to go to Lancaster County and go to all the antique markets. So from 12 years old on, I just fell in love with that. So that's kind of, I've used that in my art.
Right. When you say your parents' work was more primitive, it was more basic.
It was simple.
It was the very simple things that you've now made extremely elaborate.
Yeah, they would use fencing and make the American flags. Or my dad did a lot of angels with spindles or snowmen. So it wasn't, they weren't painters or anything. So right. I've kind of combined and made it a little bit more detailed.
Right. Where did this imagination come from? I know it's a hard question to have to answer, but as a 5-year-old, you were winning art contests, or as a 10, winning as a kid, you were already imaginative. Where did this happen?
I don't know. I think, and this is going to sound weird, I think it's an escape for me.
Okay.
So I've had a lot of problems with depression and anxiety since I was 5 years old. So I think my art is a way, I think deep down inside, I'm this super happy person. Sometimes it's hard for me to express that. And right. I kind of put it out there in my art. That's my, it's my happy place.
Right.
So
if I may, and I'll just touch on it for just a moment. I want to talk about depression as we talk about that often on the program here. When you find yourself getting low, and I imagine that still happens no matter what, right?
Oh yeah.
When you find yourself getting low, do you immediately turn to art, and you know that art lifts you out of it? Is there a process that you go through to get yourself out of that low?
I usually run first. That's my medicine. And then after that, I'm able to create. Okay. That's I have to kind of get my mind right.
Right.
And get the creative process going. And then I'm able to do it. It stinks when there's those times where you just can't do it.
Right.
But I'm lucky enough that, I think I'm motivated a little bit, and that helps. But the times you can't get out, I'm lucky. My husband's really supportive, and I always say I'm a little ornery. So I'm going to keep going and going and push through. But yeah.
All right.
Okay. Depression is terrible, and people should talk about it.
It really is, and we do often hear, and I need to remind our audience right now that if you or someone you know is suffering from depression, there's a number to call. That number is 800-273-8255, 800-273-8255. And if it's not just you or someone you know is suffering from depression, and we have that number here constantly if you ever need it. So you began experimenting with recycled and mixed media stuff after moving to Maryland. Mm-hmm. What was it about moving to Maryland that opened up that door for you? Or was it moving to Maryland? Had you already had that in mind?
So so the funny thing is, Pennsylvania is not a very expensive place to live. Maryland's about twice as much as Pennsylvania, and California's twice as much as Maryland.
Okay.
So we went down there, and we still owned a house in Pennsylvania, and my husband unfortunately didn't get the amount of money he was promised through his company, so I had to work, and I was a stay-at-home mom for a long time, so recycled materials were actually, in the beginning, really affordable. And I kind of got obsessed with them, and then it's okay, well, the only way to make it, I really think, as an artist is, you have to step away from what everybody else is doing. You have to push the limits and try. And it's grown a lot since I've moved here. It was very basic in the beginning, and my craftsmanship wasn't quite as good as it is now. But I think it was people are noticing my work, so I'm just going to go deeper and deeper. At first, it was they used to sell, there was a free book place in Baltimore. You could go get paper, and I used to use a lot of paper in my work. And then I found a salvage place, and it was the wood. And now, out here financially, now I can buy the trucks. I can buy more expensive things to put my art together with, and that's a lot of fun. So,
right. So I have a piece of yours that includes a ruler.
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And I don't know why, but I'm fascinated by measurement, whether it's time or whether it's distance, whatever. I'm fascinated by measurement, and I notice that in a lot of your pieces, there are little pieces of measurement and time. Is that on purpose?
So yeah, so I've started now, every piece has a piece of a zigzag ruler in it. Like everything has become my little signature in the last probably 6 months. And I think part of that is, like, I grew up very blue collar. My grandfather was a truck driver. My dad was an auto mechanic. So I grew up with, like, I just used one of the cage covers for like a mechanic's light in a piece. Like, and the rulers, there's something about, I love taking something very rustic and industrial and mixing it with glitter and sparkle and making it all pretty.
Right.
I think it's a fun combo, and I think that's who I am. I come from a very blue-collar, hardworking, come from nothing background kind of type of thing. And I just think it's fun to pair that, and it's a way to remember, and people connect to that. Right. You know, oh, my grandfather had that, my dad had that. And that's, I guess it's a part of me holding on to that part I don't want to forget.
Right. So. Oh my God, you just put your finger on exactly what it is that I love. So Frankie, as I'm listening to her, I'm thinking, yes, it's her art is real. It comes from a real place inside. Do you get that as well?
Absolutely. It's a true reflection of who you are. And you can tell without even knowing you, looking at your art, who you are, you know, and sense that.
If you were to walk away from your booth and people walk up to your booth, mm-hmm. and they see only your art, they see, wow, this is an artist this is real. This mm-hmm. piece is talking to me because it comes from who she is.
I always feel bad for artists who don't do that. Like, oh, I want to be like this one or like that one. And they my best work. I had somebody at the art show come up to me and be like, he's afraid that he's not selling because people can't connect to him. And I said, his work. And I'm like, the more you connect to your work, the more people are going to connect to your work. Right. So that's why people who copy other people's art, you're never going to get what that other person, I mean, it's not real.
Right.
It's not there.
Right. It can take artists years to find who they really are. And some artists are gifted. They know right away who they are and how their art is supposed to look. But some artists, it takes them a long time.
It did. It took me a long time. This evolves a long, yeah, it does.
Can you find the same type of materials here in Southern California that you were finding in places like Allentown or in Maryland? Are you able?
Three times the price.
Okay.
No, I don't know. It's the sunshine tax on everything. I don't know.
So, Frankie, you ready for the first trivia? So I know that Heather has been part of the show. She was there a summer or so ago, and then now the winter. So she's been there a short amount of time, right? Mm-hmm. Less than a couple of years.
Yep.
Who is the longest serving artist at Sawdust that we'll see this winter fantasy? Who's been there the longest?
That is currently in winter fantasy. That would be Nikki Grant.
Nikki Grant.
And Nikki Grant started exhibiting in 1968.
Oh my God, wow. That's awesome.
Wow, that is awesome.
With her brother. Her brother was Mark Blumenfeld.
Okay.
And her brother is taking an LOA this year, but Mark is a potter and Nikki is a jeweler.
Okay.
And they both have been in since 1968.
And she's currently at Winter Fantasy.
She is currently in Winter Fantasy. She is located right by the food court, next to the tavern stage.
Okay. Oh, okay. I know. Okay, now I know. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Beautiful. Okay, so you've answered the first trivia question correctly. Congratulations. 500 points for you.
Thank you.
So you say you're going to work on like 10 pieces all at the same time. Do you, as you're working on a piece and maybe you're working on a couple of different pieces on the side, you think, well, maybe this little bus would go better over here. Do you do that?
Today I have to draw everything out and I have to cut everything on the saw. So today, you know, sometimes I'll come up with an idea and as it's starting to build it, I'm building it. It's like, okay, that wasn't what I planned on doing and I'll completely do something else.
Right.
Or I'll scrap the whole thing.
All right. So I handed you a microphone for the Takeover Award mm-hmm. that you will, and again, no matter what you create for us, we are so grateful for it, number one. But do you already have, and I don't want you to reveal anything if you don't want to, do you already have something in mind? So just handing you the microphone, you've already thought, oh, I've got something.
When you said it was handheld down at the show the other day, I'm like, okay, yeah. I think I have an idea.
All right.
Yeah, it's going to be different.
All right. I can't wait. I swear I can't wait. I can't wait. Okay. Among the other 10 pieces that you plan to work on, can you give us a little, some specs on what you have in mind for some of those?
So I sold the truck, and I had bought a toy Jeep last year, and it's been sitting, and I love Jeeps, and
me too.
I'm thinking, okay, well, that's going to be my anchor piece. I think I didn't do as well yesterday is because the truck brought so many people into the booth, right? I have the really big one, but a really big piece is intimidating.
Right. Well, I love that big, it's like on a cabinet door or a closet door.
Yeah, it was part of a door.
Right. Yeah. I love that piece.
But the truck was really interesting, so I feel like I have to have a piece that is going to pull people in, and So I have an idea for the Jeep piece. And then everything else is the teeny tinies. People love the really, really small pieces.
Likewise. And again, I love it because I get lost in the... We talk about album covers and getting lost in an album cover or the liners of an album. I get lost in the great detail that you put on all of the tiny little pieces.
Yeah, I have a problem.
I have one in my office that I bought your first year.
Oh, which
was last year. Mm-hmm. Your first year was last Winter Fantasy, right? So I bought a piece from her on the very first day. I think that day you sold 28 pieces on your debut at Winter Fantasy.
Wow. Yeah, that was crazy. I actually did better this year on the first weekend.
Oh, you're so just happy to hear that.
Me too. You're just kicking butt, and we're delighted for that. I want to ask before I let you go. I want to ask you about the big piece that's in your booth. It's on a heavy looking closet door. It still has the hinges on it. For God's sake.
Yeah, it was a door I bought in Pennsylvania, so I cut it into thirds.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
And that particular piece, which is large but includes many tiny little detailed spots. How long did that piece take you?
So I had done Art Affair this summer, and I had sold all three of my anchor pieces.
Right.
And it was the final week of the show, and it was the week before I was moving. And I was like, you have to do one more big piece for that show. So I did like 3 or 4 14-hour days and just whipped it out.
Wow.
It was like it was the last piece I was doing in my studio that I started working in here. Right. So I was... Yeah.
All right. We are so looking forward to seeing more of your work. We really are. You had a good piece, but both Sawdust, Winter Fantasy, and you had a great piece in Stew News this past Friday.
Yeah.
Does that embarrass you a little bit?
It embarrasses me a little bit, yeah.
It shouldn't. It shouldn't. You should, I think, both of you, I think you should just soak all that love in, really. It is really cool. Frankie, what's coming up this weekend?
This weekend, we open Saturday, so our third weekend, 3 of 5 weekends. So great entertainment, art classes, and of course our artists, 165 artists. Last week I had mentioned a few artists who demo. There is another artist who is a fabulous demonstrator. Her name is Lilia Vignier.
Okay.
And she does these intricate ceramics. Are you familiar with her, Heather? She does these really intricate ceramics. She's right across from Doug Miller by the entertainment deck.
Okay.
And she's constantly demoing, and her work is really whimsical and fun, and she's always hand building and creating these really fascinating pieces out of ceramics. So
very cool. Yeah. As I walked in yesterday, I noticed as soon as I walk in, to my left there was a ceramist working a wheel teaching kids.
Yes.
So they're like, as soon as you walk in, your kids are getting instruction.
Definitely, definitely. We have 3 classrooms on site.
Right.
And so you're talking about the Ceramic Center.
Yes.
All day long, we offer pottery wheel and hand building.
That is so
cool.
And
it's complimentary for our guests.
That is so cool. Yeah. So you just don't, it's more than just walking around and looking at it. It is taking part in making art, which I absolutely love. So when is the next Friday that you guys are open?
That would be the last weekend, December 16th.
Okay. All right. Well, we are looking forward to that. We are out there, by the way, KXFM. Barring any torrential storms, we are out there this coming Saturday morning. And we'll be having the music on, and we'll be hopefully getting visits from Heather. But you'll be busy working on those 10 pieces, I'm sure, right? All right. Well, I want to thank both. Am I forgetting anything before I go? I have one more thing that I want to tell you before I go. I picked up a Doug Miller piece yesterday, and I had always been under the impression that Doug Miller did these wonderful daytime scapes of ocean and things that he's an amazing artist, first of all. And I've always seen daytime. I picked up a nighttime piece that looks wet. It caught Laguna Beach. It caught Coast Highway in the rain with headlights and stuff. And the painting itself looks wet. Mm. He's amazing.
Oh, I have actually, I'm proud owner of three of his night scenes, and two of them have the same kind of feel where it seems like they were taken, because he actually works from his own photos.
Right.
So every single painting he does is from one of his photos. And if you flip his paintings over, I don't know if yours has it, but
yes.
most of the time they have the actual image that he took
dated. Yeah.
So dated from it, right? And his night scenes, I think, are the most special that he does.
I cannot amazing. Love that artist anymore. First of all, he waves every time he walks by across the street. His studio's right here next to the radio station. Mm-hmm. I had no idea he did the night work. I am so impressed by it. And you're right. He, on the back of each work of his, he puts the date the picture was taken, the date he painted it, and...
he numbers what... I mean, he's on, I think... God, I can't even say, because he numbers it by the year. So he'll do like 15,000 paintings in a year or something like that. Maybe that's more than he does. But so he'll number them through the year, and then he'll number them because he started painting in the 90s. So he'll number them from there as well.
Wow. Yeah. He's an amazing artist. And Sawdust Art Festival and Winter Fantasy loaded with amazing artists. Heather Reichard, one of them. Take that for what it is, to get all the stories you can. Get into Stu News. Enjoy that. Just take it in and enjoy it. I've thoroughly enjoyed having both of you here this morning. Heather Reichard, Frankie Duchesne, Sawdust Art Festival's Winter Fantasy going on this weekend and through December 18th. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. 8:23 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.